Football season is officially underway, and we're bringing it back. It's 23's the Mic. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. It has been a year. It is your host, Nadim, back on the 23's the Mic podcast for the upcoming NFL season. We are so excited to be brought to you here by Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Check us out at 23's the Mic on Instagram for our first official post of the season. It's going to be a layout of my predictions. We'll go through the predictions on today's episode, and then we'll have a full Bears preview on the next episode as well. A lot happening so far. Today is the official roster reveal day for the 53-man roster for each team. And we had some surprises, some cuts, some unfortunate cuts in terms of the Bears. And we'll get into all of that. You can find me at NadimN22 on Instagram and at TheDreamN22 on the Twitter sphere. It's great to be back. New season, always for some new opportunities, and we are just happy to be bringing you all the best and brightest NFL content and sports content in general. A lot going on to start out the year. We had a pretty up and down preseason. A lot of big name injuries, such as J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, Travis Etienne. Are the three injuries that have highlighted training camp and the preseason. So let's just kick it off, jump right into it. Obviously, it's the first show of the year, so you know what that means. You got to give your predictions for the Super Bowl, predictions for the NFC, AFC divisions, see how teams have improved over the years. And I actually did a pretty extensive in-depth analysis into each game of the year to kind of give a better understanding, a better glimpse of who I actually accurately think is going to be making the playoffs and who is going to be left out. There is a lot of divisions to get to, obviously, so we're going to jump right in. We'll start off with the AFC East. The big news of the day today, Cam Newton, the Patriots' starting quarterback last year, has been cut by the team, officials told Adam Schefter this morning, as part of the 53-man roster condensation. So huge. That is just, it's huge because you have these guys like Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, who are the three quarterbacks out of the five drafted in the first round that have the biggest question marks in terms of when they were going to start. Obviously, Kyle Trask was also drafted to the Bucs, but obviously with Tom Brady there, he's not going to be playing for a while. So it's really these guys, right? And with Cam Newton, you have a certain, I don't know, appeal to him, a certain way that he was capable of moving with this offense. And you saw it through preseason. He struggled a bit, but with these new weapons, you couldn't help but just be excited for what the Patriots had and what they could do over the coming season with all the new acquisitions they made, the two tight ends, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Matthew Judon on the defensive side. Offensive line is going to be a huge strength for them. They drafted Ramondre Stevenson. They brought in Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne. And Cam Newton just getting cut was surprising. However, officials have told the media last week that the Patriots were not happy with Cam Newton. He had been sidelined due to COVID. And that was last week or a week and a half ago. And he was unvaccinated as well. And as you can tell, the NFL is taking an approach to kind of getting all their players vaccinated. And there are certain outliers like the Cole Beasleys and the Kirk Cousins of the world. But Cam Newton, probably one of the more polarizing figures in the sport, told everybody he's not going to get vaccinated. He doesn't want to talk about it. Next thing you know, he gets COVID. The locker room, all of a sudden, after the Patriots released a statement that they're not happy, not really released a statement, but I feel like when the Patriots want something known, that's the only time that you're going to get a glimpse of what they had going on. And the fact that the media and other outlets were reporting that the Patriots were not happy with Cam Newton's COVID diagnosis because of his, you know, subsiding the COVID protocols and kind of doing what he wants to do. And then all of a sudden, guys like Matthew Slater, Dante Hightower, these mainstays in the Patriots locker room come out and they tell everybody that Matthew or Mac Jones is a locker room leader. He's a great locker room guy. They love his play. They're really in support of him. It's not coincidence that this is all happening like that, and then it leads to Cam Newton finally getting cut by the Patriots. There could also be a scenario where he just didn't want the backup job, and maybe Bill Belichick brought him into his office and said, hey, listen, we're giving Mac Jones the starting job, and then Cam said, I don't want to be a backup, so you might as well just cut me. So this does have an influence on the playoff picture. I think with Mac Jones, the Patriots are going to get off to a slower start. For me, you have teams like the Buffalo Bills who are almost guaranteed that first seed in the AFC East division, or the division winner, I guess. You have the Miami Dolphins, who are coming off of a year in which you could say that a lot of people were disappointed. They had started off as a playoff team. They were five games away from making the playoffs and then just went on the skid when they brought in Tua. Because with Ryan Fitzpatrick, it seemed like this team was kind of running on all fronts, churning through. The defense and special teams were playing exceptionally well. Now they brought in Tua, or they drafted Tua last year. They brought in guys like Will Fuller, and they drafted Jalen Waddle. And that will remain to be seen on how that goes. But it looks like Tua has weapons now. He has Devontae Parker still. The main issue is the backfield really didn't get any improvements. Miles Gaskin's going to be leading the charge, so he had a good fantasy season last year. I don't know how much of a production standpoint for an actual NFL team that'll make. So I had the Bills first. The Dolphins are going to be second. I think their defense is going to hold up and propel them to that second spot in the division. I think the Patriots are going to take a little bit of a learning curve here with Mac Jones. I thought maybe had a better position to win with Cam at the helm to start the season, maybe the first 5-6 games. But with Mac, I think he's going to have to get adjusted to NFL offenses or defenses and NFL offensive playbooks. Obviously, from a talent perspective, they just traded away Sony Michel to the Rams. So it's going to be Damian Harris leading that backfield with Ramondre Stevenson, Oklahoma Sooner Ramondre Stevenson, leading the way maybe as a depth piece, but then can also take over because Ramondre's got that talent. Ramondre's a great, great back to have. And I think as a rookie, he's going to put the world on notice within the first maybe 7, 8, 10 games of the year. And then lastly, you have the Jets, who I believe in Robert Saleh. That's my guy. Zach Wilson has looked the part definitely in preseason. He has had a phenomenal preseason. Maybe could be in contention for the best preseason out of the five rookie quarterbacks that everyone's paying attention to. But I still think that it's going to be a process for them to get acclimated to the defense. They did bring in Carl Lawson or Shaq Lawson. I think Carl Lawson's hurt. So Shaq Lawson, they just got from the Texans in a trade. So that'll definitely help their linebacking and their edge rush. But I think their offensive line needs some stabilization. Mekhi Becton's a great piece. Zach Wilson is going to be back there under center. He's going to be under fire a lot because of the imbalance in the running game. Michael Carter, who is actually one of the preseason disappointments, was drafted in the second round, traded up for and drafted in the second round, and still has not provided that spark to the Jets running attack through preseason. At least he was there with in the first game with the starters, but in the later games he ended up splitting snaps with like the third and fourth teamers. So it's going to be a backfield of Michael P. Ryan, Michael Carter, and then old man Tevin Coleman. So we'll see what they can do in the running attack. Corey Davis looks to have a phenomenal season, and then Elijah Moore is also an upcoming rookie that is everyone's talking about his route running and capability. So I think the Jets are going to take maybe 2 to 3 years, I think, to build a roster that's formidable to be in contention, but they could be a surprise team. I have them at 6-11, Patriots at 9-8, Dolphins at 10-7, and the Bills at 14-3. Moving on to the AFC or the NFC East, excuse me. This division, it's a 17 game season this year, right? And I think that with that being said, there is a kind of opportunity here for the NFC East to get better, to not beat up on themselves as much because they have that extra game. But the way I see it is Washington, who has probably one of the best top five defenses in the league, they're going to win the division at 11-6. Then you have hard knock specialists, the Dallas Cowboys, who have a phenomenal looking offense. Dak Prescott is coming back. Ezekiel Elliott is looking to bounce back. He looks motivated and hungry. And maybe this is that Hard Knocks bump that I'm giving, just because you're able to see them all in training camp, see the motivation, the music behind it, the little theatrical features that Hard Knocks is able to do. CeeDee Lamb, though, former, again, Oklahoma Sooner. We love the Sooners on this show. He is looking to break out as a second-year wide receiver. He's looking phenomenal in training camp, in the preseason, the catches he makes. He is the hype of the preseason for me in terms of the wide receiver position. I have grabbed him so far in the two fantasy drafts that I've had, but I'm looking for a big year from CeeDee Lamb. And then after the Cowboys, I have the Giants, who it's really tough to tell on the Giants, because last year their defense looked so good for a stretch. They were able to limit Tom Brady and the Bucks in that Monday night game, almost won that game if Evan Ingram didn't drop that pass. And they were able to go out and get Kadarius Toney, Kenny Galladay, really added to that offensive stack of weapons. And we'll see what the defense is able to do, because there were stretches last year where the defense did look great. However, on the flip side, there were stretches last year where the defense looked putrid. And the offensive line, there's really questions about them, because last year they weren't great. However, in training camp, they looked pretty good. Preseason, they don't look great. So maybe a bounce back year, and maybe Andrew Thomas, that third pick overall last year's draft, can kind of seal the edge a little bit. So we'll see how they do. And then you have the Philadelphia Eagles, who, after firing coach Doug Peterson, Nick Sirianni comes in today. He announced Jalen Hurts as the starter. They just traded for Gardner Minshew, which I don't understand, because Joe Flacco seemed to have an incredible... Joe Flacco had a better preseason than Jalen Hurts did, and he was looking great in this offense. And it's just interesting, because I've heard a lot of reports that Gardner Minshew was brought in so that the offense can be designed around Jalen Hurts, and that Gardner Minshew, if anything were to happen to Hurts, can slip in and fill in that role for Jalen Hurts better than Joe Flacco can. I just feel like Joe Flacco isn't getting his due credit. And then on the AFC, and then Washington, I mean, what more can you say about Washington? As I mentioned already, a great defense. They bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is going to be finally a quarterback for them that can throw the ball downfield, that can actually get an offense going. We saw what he did in Miami last year, and really I think his value rose so much with bringing in Tua and seeing that Tua didn't provide the spark that Ryan Fitzmagic did. And Terry McLaurin, third-year wide receiver in the DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown category, he's also looking to have his first go-around with a good, formidable quarterback. Last year, there was Alex Smith and Kyle Allen. And then the year before is Dwayne Haskins. So we're looking at maybe a couple guys in this Washington offense that are looking to break out. Antonio Gibson. Last time Ron Rivera had a running back that was able to catch the ball and run the ball, look what happened to him. It was Christian McCaffrey. So there could be great things coming for Washington in their offensive attack. Their offensive line looks like it's up to par. So I think Washington is going to be that sleeper team that takes people by storm in the playoffs. Moving over to the AFC North, in my opinion, the AFC North is going to be last year's NFC West, while the NFC West is still going to remain the NFC West. I think these are the top two divisions in all of football. This might be a homer pick, obviously, because of my love for Baker, but I think the Browns actually have the most improved roster, bringing in guys like Troy Hill, John Johnson, really solidifying that secondary. You have Greg Newsome that was drafted from Northwestern. You have Greedy Williams who's coming back. You have Grant Delpit who's coming back. This roster, really with the release of Sheldrick Redwine, you can see that they're actually letting go of a lot of the players that failed on the defense last year, because they brought in these new guys. There's a new regime on the defensive side of the ball. They brought in Jadeveon Clowney. Like, there's so many different options for them to go to, and their defense looks stacked. So the offense brings back all of its starters. They drafted Anthony Schwartz, who's a speedster, so they have that. They have Rashad Higgins. OBJ's coming back. You have Chubb and Hunt in the backfield, and it's all on Baker Mayfield. If Baker Mayfield does well, this team is going far into the playoffs. then be right behind them with the same record of 13-4. I have the Ravens. There's not much to say about the Ravens. I feel like the Ravens are one of those teams that you just pencil in every year to make the playoffs. It's funny because to me, the Ravens roster isn't even that impressive. And especially with the loss of J.K. Dobbins, I feel like their running game isn't as impressive. But Lamar really compensates for that. Now, can he get it done in the passing game? Rashad Bateman is trying to get healthy for the opener. We'll see if he can do that. But again, until I see it, the Ravens are still going to be there. Right behind them, actually not making the playoffs, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers 7-10. They did nothing to really address the offensive line. It looks like Najee's going to get the bulk of the work. Big Ben they brought back, and Big Ben's dinking and dunking isn't really going to do much for him. The defense is still a force to be reckoned with for sure. You have TJ Watt alongside Cam Hayward, alongside Minka Fitzpatrick, and this team is going to be still really good on the defensive side of the ball. So we'll have to see how they do, especially in a division when you have two heavyweights like the Ravens and the Browns. The Steelers obviously have that heavyweight pedigree, so I'm excited to see what they do. And then the Bengals, with the loss of Joe Burrow last year, his knee issues, he came back for one snap or one series this preseason on Sunday, and he looked okay. Training camp reports have said he hasn't been as confident and comfortable as he was last year, obviously with that terrible, gruesome PCL, ACL, LCL tear. But the fact that he's come back this fast, it's good news for Bengals fans. And then Ja'Marr Chase being drafted to me was one of the draft picks I wasn't really happy about, just due to the fact that Penei Sewell was there. You just had your quarterback go down and you need offensive line help. They didn't really help themselves out at all in the draft because they got Carmen from Clemson in the second round, who was one of the lower offensive linemen that were rated on the board with a lot of talent still there. So I think the Bengals are going to finish last. I think Zach Taylor is going to be a candidate to lose his job this year as well. Let's go to the AFC or the NFC North. This is our division, and again, the Packers are going to win this division, unfortunately, as it is. The Packers are going to win pretty handily. The Bears are going to finish second because Justin Fields will start probably week 3, week 4. We'll see. He looks great in the preseason. It's just so different to have a dynamic player at quarterback. We've never seen this before. Someone that can run, someone that knows when to run, great decision-making, a lethal arm. But I still think that the Bears are really... We'll get more into the Bears preview, but we'll do that on the next episode. I still think the Bears are still some ways away from contention. And then you have the Vikings right after that. The Vikings look to bounce back on defense. They were horrible on defense last year, so I don't think it can get much worse. And then the Lions, who have a really, really one of the least talented rosters in the game. But Penei Sewell could be one of the guys that kind of shifts that narrative. They brought in Jared Goff in that trade for Matthew Stafford. They let go of Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones. This is a new-look Lions team, and a lot of the weight is going to be heavily relied on DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson. They did bring in Jamal Williams from Green Bay, who was a good complement to Aaron Jones, able to let him rest some. So that's how I feel like the NFC North is going to go. In over to the AFC South, this is going to be an interesting division. It's going to be the Colts, Titans, and Jags. I have it. The Texans are probably the least talented roster in the NFL with all the Deshaun Watson stuff going on. They brought in Phillip Lindsay and David Johnson as their starting running backs. I don't see anything happening there. Receivers are Brandon Cooks. Defense, Whitney Mercilus actually just got injured today, unfortunately, so it doesn't look like the Texans are going to be making any noise. Hopefully they can play well enough to win some games. That's what my concern is more of. The Carson Wentz and the Quentin Nelson injuries that were supposed to be from 5 to 12 weeks kind of changed the entire narrative for me on the Colts. However, due to recent reports that Carson Wentz is going to be back for week 1 and Quentin Nelson's also on his way back, I think it's the Colts division. With Carson Wentz, I always said even last year, I was like, this team looks like a Super Bowl team if they had a good quarterback. And Carson Wentz is on a redemption journey for his career because of how many times people have counted him out, because of all the crap that he took in Philly. I think this is his time to shine and get this team to the playoffs. Right behind them are the Tennessee Titans, who let go of Corey Davis, but they did bring in and Adoree Jackson, but they did bring in Julio Jones from the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be a Julio Jones and A.J. Brown show as one of the best receiving cores, receiving duos in the league right now. Derrick Henry, obviously, coming off of a 2,000-yard season as is. And then the defense did get somewhat better. They brought in Bud Dupree and Harold Landry, which are going to be definitely an upgrade for them. However, they did nothing to improve the secondary, and the secondary was the biggest point of emphasis for them. They did draft that Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. So they have Caleb Farley, who is opted out of the last year. He's coming back of I think he had like a back or shoulder injury that he's still rehabbing from. So a big risk to take a cornerback in the first round that's injured. But if he can kind of stabilize their pass protection, or not the pass protection, their pass defense, I think that's going to go a long way to see where this team goes. And then you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who brought in Trevor Lawrence with the number one overall pick. Unfortunately, lost their second first round pick, Travis Etienne, to a season ending, I think it was an ankle injury. I believe it was ankle or knee injury. But unfortunately, he's gone. That means this is James Robinson's backfield. They did bring in pieces. They have pieces. Marvin Jones, LaVisca Chenault is still there. DJ Chark is there. So it's really just about, I feel like this team is going to compete on offense. They just can't really compete on defense. Miles Jack, who's like their age-old veteran from the formidable 2008 Jags defense, one of the few that are still there. You have C.J. Henderson, who's a good corner. So it'll be interesting to see what these guys do. I think they will make some noise, though. I have them going 6-11, and I think they're going to make some noise. And then, as I said, the Texans are going to finish last. In the NFC South, I think this division is the division that takes the biggest step back from last year, because I think it's all Bucks. The Bucks are going to win this division easily. The Panthers look to be making some noise with Sam Darnold, but their offensive line still has issues and the defense has issues. But Sam Darnold throwing to DJ Moore, throwing to Robbie Anderson, throwing to Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. They brought in Chuba Hubbard, who's actually explosive, much to the similar degree of Christian McCaffrey. So it's going to be interesting what they do there. The Saints, they're going with Jameis probably, and Michael Thomas is out on the shelf. But Jameis really provides that stabilization and stability to this team, I think. If they can play better defense, maybe that can compensate for some of the flaws in the offense and the personnel and the offensive line. And then the Falcons, I have finishing last. Matt Ryan looking like this might be his final year, throwing to Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. Mike Davis is their starting running back. I really don't like that. I don't like their offensive line, and their defense really has to improve. So I think this division compared to last year is going to take a huge, huge step back. And then to cap it off in the final two divisions, it's going to be the AFC West. Obviously, winning that division, it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think the Chargers are going to finish second and make a lot of noise. Justin Herbert coming off of a stellar rookie of the year performance. And they brought in Asante Samuel at corner. They drafted him. Keenan Allen's coming back. Mike Williams is there. Austin Eckler's coming back from the season-ending injury he suffered last year. And they brought in Rashawn Slater to really help that offensive line become more aggressive and in pass protection for Justin Herbert. And I think that they're going to get it done and they're going to make the playoffs. The Broncos are such an interesting team because I feel like if they had a good quarterback, everyone would be talking about them. Their offensive personnel is ridiculous. They have Melvin Gordon, who's a good running back. He's getting old, but then they went ahead and drafted Javonte Williams, who can really bring that juice. Their wide receivers are Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, probably the most underrated receiver core in the league. KJ Hamler is a burner. Drew Lock had a great start to the preseason. However, Teddy Bridgewater is named the starter. He came in from the Panthers and he's taking over that job. This defense is good. I'm actually surprised at the personnel on this defense. Obviously, Von Miller is old. This will probably be his last year, but you know, Bradley Chubb is there, and Casey Hayward, and I'm really excited to see what this team can do. Because if they work on offense, I feel like they have a good shot at making the playoffs. And then the Raiders at 6-11, don't really know what they're doing. They traded away three of their starting offensive linemen, one to the Seahawks, one to the Patriots, and then one to the Rodney Hudson, the center to the Arizona Cardinals. So They brought in Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs behind a really suspect offensive line. They got Alex Leatherwood from the Alabama Crimson Tide. So we'll see what they do. Derek Carr, Darren Waller. It's going to be the Darren Waller show. And the defense needs help. And then to cap it off, ending it with the NFC West, the most improved team aside from the Cleveland Browns this offseason to me was the Los Angeles Rams. Why? Because they were the best defense in the NFL, and they finally got a slinger at quarterback alongside Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Van Jefferson. You have Matthew Stafford, who is going to light it up in LA with Tyler Higbee. Also to note, Cam Akers, the injury to him, they brought in Sony Michel, and I think Sony Michel is going to have more say than people think in this offense. And Daryl Henderson, he's okay, but the offensive line's good. Andrew Whitworth is still there. And that defense, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and those boys are going to eat this season. So I think they're going to win the division. Right behind them is the team that, regardless of what happens, is going to improve. It's the San Francisco 49ers. I think they're going to do a little homage to the old Steve Young, Joe Montana, play Jimmy G and Trey Lance at the same time. But this team is getting all of their injured players. The most injured team last year. They're getting their injured players back. Nick Bosa, Raheem Mostert, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, you name it. They're getting all their guys back. It's going to be interesting to see what noise that they can make. But I think they're going to finish second in this division. I think the Seahawks are going to finish third, and the Cardinals are going to finish fourth. The Cardinals, Seahawks, 49ers, and Rams, in my estimation, in this prediction, are all going to be making the playoffs. This NFC West is going to be lit with games, entertainment, and fun, because Kyler Murray versus Russell Wilson versus Jimmy G / Trey Lance versus Matthew Stafford, this division is littered with quarterback talent, and it's going to be so much fun to watch. Obviously, the Cardinals, they brought in A.J. Green. They brought in J.J. Watt. They are looking good on the defensive side of the ball. Malcolm Butler, who they also brought in, was making some headway. However, he's been dealing with some personal things, and it looks like he might be looking to retire prematurely. Of course, Malcolm Butler, the same Malcolm Butler that won the Patriots the Super Bowl against the Seattle Seahawks, looking to do damage against the Seahawks again, but it's looking like he may retire due to personal reasons. So that's the predictions I have. And then I have a crazy Super Bowl that I would personally love. I don't think necessarily that it's going to happen, because I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in this role. But I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns exercise their demons of the last 20, 25 years, and they make the Super Bowl to play the Los Angeles Rams. And it's going to be a fun one. You know, last year, everyone is talking about how you can't just bring in a QB under a new system and win a Super Bowl. Well, Tom Brady proved all the doubters wrong yet again, as he does. And then Matthew Stafford is going to do the same thing in LA, because that team is just loaded, and they didn't lose much. The biggest loss they have is Cam Akers. So we'll see what they do. And that about wraps it up for this episode of 23's The Mic. It is a preview show for a preview that we are looking so forward to this season starting up next Thursday. As always, you can find the show at 23's The Mic on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at NadimN22 on Instagram. And be sure to check us out. And later this week, I'm going to drop a Bears preview episode. Thank you all for listening, and have a good one.